Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents If We Were Perfect by Anna Huang, narrated by Cindy Kay and Aiden Snow. Chapter 1.
He tried to give me a lap dance, Farah, in the middle of a 4-star restaurant.
Olivia Tang paced the length of Ishikawa's black marbled bathroom, her heels clicking against the tile floors in agitation.
I like this place. The sushi is great, and it scores at least an 8 out of 10 on everything else I require for my favorite dine-out places. Service, ambiance, decor, location, clean bathrooms. I refuse to be banned from my momentary lapse in judgment in agreeing to dinner with a guy named Wesley.
Her best friend, Farah Lynn Ryan, laughed, the silvery sound tinkling over their transcontinental call in a wash of familiarity. Olivia hadn't heard that laugh in person in months. Not since she, Farah, and their other friends, Courtney Taylor and Chris Carrera, soon to be Chris Reynolds, flew to Miami for a girls' trip in February. She missed having her best friend in the same city. But a phone call was better than nothing, especially when she was on yet another disaster of a date.
Say you have an emergency and cut the date short, Farah suggested. I'll call you in a few and pretend I'm a close family member that got rushed to the hospital.
I would, but I want to try the dessert.
Olivia ran a hand through her sleek, just below shoulder-length black hair and examined her reflection. She'd been optimistic about tonight, and had run out of the office so she had enough time to get ready. 2 hours later, her hair was perfect. Her makeup accentuated her bright dark eyes and rosebud lips, and her elegantly provocative black dress clung to her slender frame. Comfy but sexy heels added an extra 3 inches to her 5'5" frame.
What a waste. All that time, energy, and makeup for nothing. They're famous for their dessert, Olivia added,
oddly compelled to explain why she was staying.
Caramelized apple and kurumoji ice cream served with muesli.
There were few things she wouldn't do for good food. Maybe it was because she couldn't cook to save her life, so she relied on other people's cooking skills for culinary satisfaction. Whatever it was, Olivia's food obsession had taken her to sometimes sketchy, always delicious places since she was old enough to distinguish between a hand roll and a maki roll.
Sounds yummy. Well, you're in the middle of the main course, right? You're almost there.
Just make sure Wesley doesn't pull another magic mic.
Farah sounded like she was trying not to laugh again.
Yeah, yeah. Make fun of me, you happily married newlywed. Olivia grumbled. You're not the one slogging through the swamps of single life in modern America.
Newlywed or not, I still love you.
I know, Olivia sighed. I better get back out there before Wesley thinks I fell in the toilet or something. I swear this dessert better be worth it.
I'm sure it will. Call me later and let me know how it goes. Love you.
Love you too. Olivia hung up.
The date was a colossal waste of time, but it would have been less of a waste if she stayed for dessert. She'd weighed the pros and cons already. Sacrifice an extra half hour for dessert and leave with greater satisfaction, or escape early with no satisfaction at all, beyond the delicious sushi she'd already consumed. The past hour and a half were a sunk cost. She couldn't get it back. She concluded that greater satisfaction outweighed 30 minutes of her time. Olivia had an obligation to herself to ensure her night wasn't a total waste, and she'd been dying to try Ishikawa's signature dessert since she read about it in Maud DeVee's food features section. She exited the bathroom and tried not to grimace when she saw Wesley polishing off another sake at their table. According to his dating app profile, he was a real estate agent who liked vintage wine and travel, just like Olivia. And he was. What it failed to mention, and what he'd announced 10 minutes into their dinner, was that he also moonlighted as a stripper at the cockpit. Yes, that was the name of Wesley's nighttime employer, And yes, according to her chatty date, all the non-stage performer employees had to dress up as flight attendants. Olivia had nothing against strippers. She loved Magic Mike XXL. A shirtless Channing Tatum, Joe Manganiello, and Matt Bomer all in the same movie? Yes, please. But there was a time and place for them. And tonight was neither the time nor place for Wesley to show off his moves, as he announced he would do half an hour ago. To be fair, he was also unabashedly drunk. For a 6'2", 190-pound specimen, he couldn't hold his alcohol at all. He had, however, managed to climb onto a speechless Olivia's lap before she shoved him off and excused herself to go to the restroom. "You're back," Wesley exclaimed, like she'd just returned from a trip to Italy and not the toilet. "How was the bathroom?" "Fine," she pasted on a smile and flagged down a server. "Can we order dessert, please? 2 caramelized apple and Kurumochi ice creams, thank you." She wasn't sharing, and if Wesley didn't like her dessert choice, too bad. Olivia had put up with an unwilling near lap dance. He could put up with ice cream.
"Dessert already? You didn't finish your food."
Wesley stared at the remaining sushi on Olivia's side of the table. "I will by the time they bring it out." He laughed.
"No way."
He stopped when Olivia dug into her remaining food with the gusto of a starving 13-year-old boy who'd just come home from sports practice. Translation: she demolished the rest of her meal in 2 minutes flat.
"Wow. You eat faster than I do. That's hot."
Wesley got out of his chair. "Oh, no." This was what she got for meeting up with a rando from a dating app. It wasn't Olivia's first time meeting with an online match, but it was her first time agreeing to dinner with someone whom she hadn't properly screened. Usually, it took more than a day of messaging back and forth before she took things to the next level. But she'd needed to blow off steam after a grueling first year in her MBA program and an equally grueling summer dealing with her jerk-faced colleagues. Okay, fine. Her last final had been 5 days ago, and she'd only worked with said jerk-faces for 2 days, but still, Olivia deserved hazard pay for dealing with their immature, sexist asses. People thought Wall Street in New York was bad. They never met the San Francisco branch of Pine Hill Capital, the prestigious private equity PE firm Olivia had worked for since she jumped ship from investment banking 5 years ago. "Wesley, sit," Olivia ordered, unconsciously using the same tone she used on dogs.
"I never finished showing you my moves earlier."
"I don't want to see your moves." Olivia flashed a tight smile of thanks at the server, who returned with their ice cream and shot a strange look in Wesley's direction, but didn't say anything. The top 2 buttons of Wesley's shirt were unbuttoned, revealing a sliver of muscled chest and spray-tanned skin. He wasn't bad-looking, but if he didn't sit down in the next 2 minutes, she couldn't be held accountable for where she might lodge her shoe. Olivia scooted her chair closer to the table so he couldn't climb into her lap again. She spooned some ice cream into her mouth and... Oh my God. All thoughts of sticking her heel where the sun didn't shine flew out of her head as she focused on the cold, creamy mound of heaven in her bowl. It was amazing. Definitely worth 30 minutes of her life. But once she finished dessert, she was hightailing it out of here. Wesley could take care of the bill, and she'd never have to see him again. Olivia wondered if she could eat Wesley's portion of dessert, too. The poor ice cream was melting, and he didn't seem like he would stop showing off his moves anytime soon. Saving that perfectly flavored scoop from dying a useless death was practically a moral imperative.
"Olivia, look,"
Wesley said, sounding suspiciously whiny for a 29-year-old.
"You're not looking. This is my booty pop. Women love it."
"Someone kill me now." At least they were in the back corner of the restaurant, away from the kitchen and most other guests. The nearest diners, a handsome couple in their mid-40s, shot Olivia and Wesley the same strange look their server had earlier.
but Wesley hadn't done anything too egregious yet, like take his shirt off. The couple soon got distracted by their food, while Wesley booty-popped to his heart's content.
"Sit down," Olivia repeated.
He didn't. "Fuck it." She finished her ice cream and swapped her empty bowl with Wesley's full one. He didn't deserve dessert.
"I can't believe you don't like my moves,"
Wesley slurred, sounding offended. He sidled closer, and she realized he'd unbuttoned several more buttons until half his chest was showing. If a restaurant staff member saw him, he'd be thrown out for public indecency.
"I'm the star of the cockpit. Women specifically request me for their bachelorette parties. I make over $1,000 a night. I can squeeze a penny with my..."
Olivia never found out what he could squeeze a penny with, thank God, because she chose that moment to turn her head to the left. Just a few inches, really, until she could see over Wesley's shoulder. In the grand scheme of things, the small movement was nothing. Or it would have been nothing, had her gaze not collided with a pair of familiar onyx eyes that sucked her in like a black hole. Nothing escaped. Not light, not sound, not the painful beats of her heart. Just like that, everything disappeared except for the man her younger, naive self had thought held her universe in the palms of his hands. Even Wesley ceased to exist, and he was practically on top of her. Olivia's breath rushed out in a shaky gust of exhilaration, embarrassment, and loathing.
"Olivia?"
Her name fell off Sammy Yu's perfect lips like a long-forgotten love song, evoking memories of golden days and beautiful nights. Those dark eyes darted from her spoonful of ice cream, frozen halfway to her mouth, to Wesley's bared chest before finally resting on her face. She spotted glints of confusion and amusement. And it was the latter that fueled her with the strength to level a glare at Wesley so menacing he immediately backed off.
"I'm going to the restroom,"
Wesley announced, indignation oozing from every pore.
"It's clear my booty pops are not appreciated here."
He stalked off, his half-open shirt flapping in the breeze. He didn't spare Sammy a glance. Sammy's mouth twitched.
"I wasn't aware booty pops were on the menu."
"Funny. I was just leaving," Olivia said with as much dignity as she could muster. She set her spoon down. The ice cream had melted anyway, and there was none left in the bowl. She could bolt right now while Wesley was in the restroom. Usually, Olivia would never do something so rude, but she was fed up with this day. It kept going from bad to worse, and running into your ex-boyfriend while on a terrible date definitely counted as worse.
"You mean you don't want to go home with that fine booty-popping specimen?"
Sammy feigned shock.
"Say it ain't so."
She glared at him. "Sarcasm doesn't suit you." The Sammy she knew wasn't sarcastic unless it was in a fun, playful way. But the man standing before her wasn't the Sammy she knew. He was still tall and handsome. So handsome, the mere sight of him sent a pleasurable shiver through her body. Same eyes, same high cheekbones and strong jaw. Same dark hair, though he wore it shorter now than in college. But his lean frame had filled out with more hard-hewn muscles. His eyes sparked with more cynicism. And he possessed a self-assurance one only gained with age. With his camel coat, black dress shirt and hard expression, Sammy couldn't have looked more different from the good-natured, math pun-loving, lived-in-a-t-shirt college boy she once knew. He was all man now, and not one that had any love lost for her.
"What are you doing here?"
Olivia demanded. He hadn't responded to her sarcasm dig, and the silence was bugging her. She almost wished Wesley were here so she'd have a buffer. What was taking him so long anyway? Did he fall in the toilet? Then again, Olivia had holed herself in the restroom for a good 20 minutes talking to Farah, so she couldn't throw stones. Sammy's eyebrows rose a fraction of an inch.
"This is a restaurant," I'm here for dinner, same as the rest of the patrons. What are you doing here?
You answered your own question. Dinner.
The duh was implied. You don't live in San Francisco.
I do this summer. I'm working at the SF branch of my company instead of going back to New York.
Olivia wasn't sure why she was telling him all this. They weren't friends anymore. Unfortunately, they had tons of mutual friends from their college study abroad program, and they were constantly forced into the same space thanks to said friends. Farrah's wedding, Chris's upcoming nuptials, group trips, and reunions. Things Olivia couldn't back out of because of either loyalty or a strong sense of FOMO, fear of missing out. Sammy's thoughts must have run along the same lines, because he showed up at almost every event, too. As a result, they'd settled into an uneasy, somewhat civil truce that consisted of them ignoring each other and parking themselves on opposite sides of whatever room or table they found themselves in.
Huh.
Sammy appeared displeased by the revelation that she would be in San Francisco for the summer. Thanks to Farrah, he knew she was working on her MBA at Stanford. Olivia had almost killed her for letting that piece of info slip. To which Farrah merely responded,
"Why? Are you afraid he'll show up on campus and you'll have hot, sweaty makeup sex?"
Huh. As if. 8 years was a little too late for makeup sex. As for Sammy's displeasure, too bad. He didn't own the city. She could move here if she wanted. She didn't, but she could.
"Olivia, is that you?"
Olivia stiffened when a familiar blonde sidled up next to Sammy. Golden hair that fell past her shoulders in shiny waves. Red lipstick that matched her Ted Baker sheath dress perfectly. A face that would make a supermodel weep.
"Jessica." "It is you," Sammy's girlfriend grinned. "Sam didn't tell me you were in San Francisco."
She called him Sam? No one called him Sam. But Sammy didn't so much as blink an eye at the moniker.
"I'm here for the summer," Olivia forced a smile and repeated her explanation. "I just finished my first year of business school at Stanford, and I'm working at my company's SF branch until classes start again."
"I didn't know she was in the city until we ran into each other here."
Sammy slid an arm around Jessica's waist,
and Olivia fought the urge to upchuck. She'd only met Jessica twice before, once at Sammy's 4th of July barbecue in New York 3 summers ago, and once at Farrah and Blake's wedding. Funnily enough, she'd wanted to upchuck both those times, too.
"She was just leaving. She has to go before her date comes back."
A tiny smirk tugged at the corners of his mouth. Olivia glared at him. He stared back with one infuriatingly arched brow. Jessica, to her credit, didn't press on why Olivia was leaving her date high and dry. Instead, her smile widened.
"We should all have dinner sometime. There's a bunch of great restaurants in the city I'm sure you'll love."
Ugh. Why did she have to be so nice? It would be easier to hate her if she were a total witch. Not that Olivia had a reason to hate her ex's current girlfriend or anything. She didn't even like Sammy anymore.
"I'm sure Olivia's busy."
Sammy's voice contained a note of warning.
"Too busy for dinner?"
Jessica shot her boyfriend a look Olivia couldn't decipher. "Thanks for the invite. And yeah, let's grab dinner sometime." Olivia would rather roll around in a puddle of sewer water than eat dinner with Jessica and Sammy. But this was the 21st century. People made vague plans with no follow-up all the time.
"Listen, I have to go. There's an emergency at my apartment."
She needed to get out of here. Wesley was going to be back any minute. Sammy was sucking all the oxygen out of the room, and Jessica was making her stomach churn. Not because the blonde was mean or had said anything wrong, but because she was there, with him. Olivia hated seeing them together, and she hated herself for hating it. Jessica's brows dipped.
"Everything okay?"
"Yes, I just have to go check on stuff."
"You've Sam's number, right? If you need help, give him a call and we'll be there."
"Thanks."
It was weird that a woman she barely knew was acting like they were best friends. And even weirder that said woman seemed intent on throwing her boyfriend back with his ex. But that wasn't Olivia's problem. Sammy remained silent, his expression unreadable. Olivia mumbled a goodbye, paid for her dinner against her earlier plans. She didn't trust Wesley to cover their tab or tip appropriately, and hailed a cab home. While the taxi wound its way through San Francisco's hilly streets, she tipped her head back and closed her eyes, exhaustion sinking into her bones. God, what a night. First her ridiculous date, then running into Sammy and Jessica. She hadn't reached out to Sammy when she moved to California last year, even though he'd been the only person she knew in the area. Stanford was a 45-minute drive from San Francisco, and she'd been swamped with schoolwork. Plus, while they were no longer on hostile terms, they weren't exactly friendly either. Get it together, Olivia, she muttered under her breath. Dwelling on the past was a waste of time, and if there was one thing Olivia hated, it was wasting time. The average life expectancy for a female in the U.S. born in Olivia's birth year was 79 years. That was 28,835 days, 41,522,400 minutes. She had an ever-present clock in her mind, ticking down those days and minutes until they reached her inevitable, if unknown, death date. Some might find that morbid, but she found it reassuring. Olivia thrived on structure, and life had a beginning, middle, and end, as all things should. The mental clock had the added benefit of reminding her how precious her time was. If she wasn't productive, happy, or relaxed, it was time wasted. Tonight, a colossal waste, and she wouldn't drag it out by wondering for the millionth time if there could have been a different ending for her and Sammy. If she'd stood up to her mother, if she hadn't lied, if Sammy hadn't said the things he'd said. Olivia shook her head, shoving thoughts of the past back in her mental do-not-open drawer where they belonged. To distract herself, she pulled out her phone and tapped out notes for Monday's meeting until the taxi rolled to a stop in front of her apartment building. San Francisco rent was even more ridiculous than New York, and that was a high bar. But she'd gotten lucky with the studio apartment she'd sublet from a friend's friend. She was still paying a ridiculous amount of money each month for something the size of a shoebox, but it could have been worse. Olivia unlocked the door, eager for a hot shower and sleep. She couldn't wait. What the hell? A thick, musty smell slammed into her nose before her brain registered the scene in front of her. The floors of her apartment glistened beneath 2 inches of water. You've got to be kidding me! Her high, shocked voice echoed off the walls and absorbed into the puddles destroying her belongings. Her mattress, which she'd placed on the floor since her bed frame hadn't arrived yet, done so. Her beautiful wool area rug, unrecognizable. The cardboard boxes she'd yet to unpack because she'd been so busy at work, half disintegrated. There's an emergency at the apartment. Olivia's earlier excuse came back to her, and she wanted to throw up. She wasn't the superstitious sort, but a tiny part of her wondered whether she'd manifested this nightmare. She'd only been gone a few hours. How the hell had this happened? She pressed her palm to her temple and tried to deepen her shallow breaths. It was 9 at night. She was exhausted. Half her belongings were ruined. She had no clue where to start cleaning this mess up. And she had no friends in the city. No one to help her. A wild sound emerged from her throat, and it took her a few seconds before she realized she was laughing, hysterically. For once in her well-planned life, Olivia Tang had no clue what to do.
Chapter 2. The ice cubes clinked as Sammy picked up his drink with one hand and flipped through the menu with the other. I might skip the sushi and go for the udon, he said. I'm in the mood for noodles. Silence. He looked up to find Jessica staring at him with a half-knowing, half-judging expression.
What? You know what?
The judging edged out the knowing by a smidge. Tension crawled into Sammy's shoulders, but he kept his expression neutral.
I do not, in fact, know what.
Olivia.
The tension intensified as it always did when he saw, heard, or so much as thought about Olivia Tang. Her name created knots that would take the city's best massage therapist hours to undo.
What about her?
Jessica's eyes narrowed. She was a beautiful woman, and Sammy could see several men in the vicinity throwing covetous glances in her direction. Too bad she'd never be interested in them.
Does she still think you and I are dating?
I have no idea what she thinks.
He refocused on the most important issue at hand.
Udon. I'm definitely ordering the udon.
His dinner date let out an exasperated sigh.
Do you think it's a coincidence she's in town this summer? Maybe it's a sign.
No, it's not.
Sammy snapped his menu shut and set it on the table with no small amount of irritation.
She's in town because she's studying at Stanford. She chose Stanford because it's ranked the number one MBA program in the country alongside Wharton, and sunny Palo Alto, with its proximity to San Francisco's food scene, is more appealing to her than Philadelphia. She probably stayed in California this summer instead of going back to New York because she wants to expand her network for career-building purposes. So no, I don't think it's a sign at all.
The low chatter of other diners and the clink of knives and forks against porcelain plates were the only sounds punctuating the charged storm brewing around Sammy. He rarely got this riled up, but Olivia was, always was, the exception to all his rules. Jessica appeared unfazed by his outburst.
For someone who claims he has no idea what she's thinking, you possess a rare insight into Olivia's reasoning.
When it comes to her career, she's an open book, Sammy said flatly. Ambition above all else.
He had no issues with ambition. It was one of the many things he'd loved about Olivia, her drive, her intelligence, her determination to succeed in an industry known for being a boys' club. She was strong, smart, and loyal, and she loved the people in her life as fiercely as she did her work. Or so he'd thought. Perhaps that was why he'd been so blindsided by her actions after she realized his vision for his future, his, not hers, no longer fit into her neat, color-coded, perfectly planned-out life. Love blinded even those with perfect vision. It was a lesson Sammy had never forgotten. Their server took their orders and Jessica waited until he'd left before she resumed her interrogation.
You must have known she was in town. Farah must have told you, she pressed.
She'd only met Farah twice, but she had a steel trap memory. It was one of the reasons why she was one of the most sought-after lawyers in the Bay Area. Sammy's jaw flexed. Farah hadn't told him, but he bet it would come up in their next conversation. She'd never given up on the hope that Sammy and Olivia would get back together, and her matchmaking attempts had intensified after she and Blake tied the knot. Blake and Farah had had a nasty breakup in Shanghai, but they finally got back together after years apart. It took a lot of pain and heartache, but they got there. They were now so blissfully happy, Sammy expected music to soar and spontaneous rainbows to arc over their heads whenever they were together. He was happy for them, truly, but just because they sorted out their issues didn't mean happily ever after was in the cards for Sammy and Olivia, too. Blake and Farah broke up because of a fucked-up lie from a third party. Sammy and Olivia had no one to blame for their relationship's demise except themselves. Besides, they'd ended things 8 years ago. It was time for Farah to let that shit go.
How about you try taking that advice yourself? A smug, unwanted voice in Sammy's head whispered.
He batted it away and refocused on the blonde sitting across from him.
It doesn't matter, he said. So what if she's in SF? It's a big city and we're not friends.
Not anymore. Once upon a time, Sammy and Olivia had been best friends, lovers, dreamers. They'd shared and held each other's hopes and wishes in their hands and woven a glittering tapestry of what the future would look like.
But when those hopes and wishes changed, the threads frayed, and the discordance stretched the tapestry thin until the fabric tore, ripping itself and its owners apart. "Let's talk about something else," Sammy said, before Jessica could push him further on the subject. "Like your well-deserved promotion, which is why we're here." Deflection, the world's greatest weapon. A grin spread across Jessica's face. "One step closer to partner." "You deserve it." Sammy flashed a genuine smile. Jessica was a killer lawyer, famous among Silicon Valley's movers and shakers for her sharp instincts and talent for reading people. She worked harder than most people Sammy knew, and she'd been promoted after helping her firm's most important client, a major tech company, win a massive legal fight against the European Union. If she kept going at this rate, she'd make partner before she turned 35. They clinked glasses, and Sammy downed his sake in one smooth gulp. He'd missed Jessica's official celebratory dinner because of a last-minute emergency at the bakery. She'd insisted it was fine, but he'd been adamant about treating her to a makeup dinner. He just hadn't expected to run into his ex-girlfriend at the same restaurant. What were the odds? Then again, Sammy shouldn't be surprised. Food was Olivia's weakness, and she was always on the hunt for great new restaurants. He still remembered her spreadsheets crammed with information about various establishments, the type of cuisine, price point, number of Yelp stars, signature dishes and additional notes, awards, dress code, cash only, etc. It was both impressive and terrifying. Ishikawa was the city's latest culinary hotspot, so of course Olivia would be here, with a date. The server returned with their food, and Sammy dug into his noodles with a frown. Her date had left soon after she did, and he'd seemed too intoxicated to realize the woman he'd arrived with had ditched him while he'd been in the restroom. When did Olivia start going out with overgrown frat boys who couldn't keep their drinks down and their shirts on? Why did Sammy care? "I don't." Sammy stabbed a piece of beef with his fork while Jessica talked about the new case she was working on. Luckily, she didn't mention Olivia again for the rest of the dinner, and their conversation topics stayed in neutral territory. The first time Sammy introduced Jessica as his girlfriend had been at his 4th of July barbecue 3 years ago, and it had taken a hell of a lot of convincing before she agreed to the ruse. Neither she nor his best friend, Nardo Crescas, who'd grown up with Jessica and had connected her with Sammy after she moved to California, had approved of him faking a girlfriend to get under Olivia's skin. To be fair, such games were childish, but Sammy had been so rattled by being around Olivia again after years of avoiding her that he hadn't been thinking straight. His bakery had had a pop-up in New York that summer, and he'd temporarily moved to NYC to serve as the face of the new venture. It had been easy to sidestep Farrah's efforts to throw him and Olivia together when they lived on opposite sides of the country. It was nearly impossible when they were in the same city. Jessica happened to be in town that weekend for work, yes, work, during 4th of July, and had reluctantly agreed to play the part of his girlfriend. Not that it mattered. Olivia hadn't blinked an eye, not then and not the second time around when Sammy brought Jessica as his plus one to Farrah and Blake's wedding. That time it had been to ensure he didn't do anything stupid, as people were wont to do when they were drunk at a wedding and in close proximity to the ex-love of their life. By the time dinner ended, Sammy had sunk into a brooding silence. If Jessica noticed, she didn't say anything. "Thanks for dinner," Jessica wound her scarf around her neck. Unless there was a heat wave, San Francisco evenings were substantially chillier than its afternoons, a fact that always surprised tourists who came to the Bay Area expecting the same hot, sunny weather as in Southern California.
"You really didn't have to."
"I wanted to." Sammy's phone buzzed with an incoming call. When he saw the name on the screen, his blood iced over. Olivia. She hadn't called him in nearly a decade. It was like he'd conjured her call simply by thinking of her throughout dinner. Or had she been thinking about him after they ran into each other?
"Who is it?" Jessica asked.
"No one." The call ended, replaced with a missed call notification. "You want to ride home?"
"Nah, I'm meeting Mara for drinks. You can join us if you'd like." Thanks, but I'm going to call it a night. He hugged her. Congrats again. Don't forget us little people once you make it big. Jessica's laugh pealed through the night.
Says the insta-famous baker. What was it Zagat called you? A pastry virtuoso?
Good night, he said pointedly, earning himself another laugh. Sammy grinned and waited until Jessica had ducked into a cab before he walked to his car. There, his smile faded and he stared at his phone, torn. Damn it. He pulled up his recent call list and dialed Olivia back. One ring, two, three. He was about to give up when she finally answered, sounding out of breath.
Hey.
Hey. He put her on speaker and connected his phone to the car so he could navigate out of his parking spot, freeing it up for the Prius waiting to take his place. You called? There was a brief pause.
It was nothing.
A faint tinge of embarrassment colored her tone.
I butt-dialed you.
You're a bad liar, Olivia. And you wouldn't have called me unless it was an emergency. Frankly, Sammy was shocked she called, even if it were an emergency. He'd expected her to have purged him from her contacts list years ago. The fact she hadn't made his heart squeeze in a worrying way.
I'm an excellent liar, Olivia huffed.
His mouth quirked up at her indignation.
Look, it's been a long day and I wasn't thinking clearly. You're the only person I know in the city besides my co-workers, which is why I called you, but I've got it under control.
Sammy stopped at a red light. Concern twisted through him. Got what under control? She told him, and when he asked for her address, she hesitated before giving it to him. He cursed under his breath. The glowing numbers on his radio console told him it was 10:30, and her apartment was in the opposite direction of his house. He should hang up and let it be. She said she had it under control, and he believed her. Olivia always had things under control. The light turned green, and Sammy's hands flexed on the steering wheel. Don't go anywhere. I'll be there in 30 minutes, he said grimly. Sammy hung up, merged into the next lane so he could make a U-turn at the next intersection, and cursed again. He would regret this later. He was sure of it. 28 minutes later, Sammy pulled up in front of Olivia's apartment building. He input the code she'd texted him and stepped inside, taking in the marble floors and freshly painted walls. The building was on the older side, but well-maintained, and apartments here must cost a pretty penny, even if it didn't boast luxury amenities. Hell, San Francisco was so expensive a shoebox could go for $1,500 a month and be considered a steal. Why am I doing this? The question pounded through Sammy's head for the 100th time as he climbed the stairs to Olivia's apartment. Because my mom raised me to have manners. Or because I'm a masochist, Sammy mumbled, his voice echoing in the empty stairwell. It didn't take long to find Olivia's apartment once he reached the second floor. The door was ajar and he heard the faint sounds of water splashing through the crack. He rapped his knuckles on the wood and waited for her.
Come in!
Before he nudged the door open and took in the chaos with wide eyes.
Holy shit!
The place looked like Poseidon had pitched a mini-fit and drowned it out of rage. Bedsheets and towels covered half the floor, so soaked they were nearly transparent. Olivia was mopping the areas not covered with cloth. But it didn't help much. There was so much water she'd need a sump pump to suck it all out. Every inch of table surface and counter space groaned beneath the weight of clothes, household products, and various knick-knacks, while a pile of wet, crumbling cardboard boxes sat in the corner, flattened and forlorn. She hadn't been kidding when she'd said the place was a mess.
My reaction exactly.
Olivia blew a stray strand of hair out of her eye. She wore the same outfit she'd worn to dinner, except she'd changed her shoes. Good call, considering she'd had on heels. And thrown her hair up in a messy bun. Her skin gleamed with perspiration, and Sammy tried not to stare at the bead of sweat snaking its way past the hollow of her throat and into the V-dip of her dress. What happened? He stepped cautiously through the apartment, avoiding puddles where he could.
Flood.
He slanted her a sardonic look. No shit, Sherlock. Olivia stopped mopping and leaned her weight against the mop handle.
Washing machine flood, she clarified.
The washer wasn't on, but I called my landlord and he said floods can happen even if it isn't running. Something about a burst water supply line.
Is he on his way?
He said it's too late and he'll come in the morning.
Annoyance blasted through Sammy's system.
What the hell? What are you supposed to do until then? Where are you going to sleep?
Olivia lifted one shoulder.
I'll clean up as much of the mess as possible and rent a hotel room for the night.
Her lower lip disappeared between her teeth, and pale pink stained her cheeks.
Like I said earlier, I called you because I panicked and wasn't thinking clearly, but I got it under control. So you can enjoy the rest of your night. Sorry for making you come all the way out here.
It's almost 11 p.m. Not a lot of night left to enjoy, Sammy said dryly. The pale pink darkened into dusky rose.
I said I was sorry.
Olivia patted her hair, keeping her gaze averted from his.
Thank you for coming. I'll reimburse your gas or cab fare, but you don't need to stay. I'm fine.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Half your stuff is ruined. You look like you're about to collapse from exhaustion, and do you even know where the closest hotel is? Or whether they have any rooms available?
That's what Google is for.
Irritation curled through Sammy's stomach. Seriously? He'd gone out of his way to help her after she called him just to get snipped at and told his help wasn't needed? Screw that. He should have never come. Hell, he should have blocked her number and erased her from his life a long time ago. Mutual friends be damned. Fine. Don't bother with the gas money. I'll consider that my charity donation for the month. Sammy's jaw clenched. Good luck with this mess. Not that you'll need it. After all, you always figure your shit out. You're perfect. He turned and stalked toward the door, silently cursing himself for his stupidity. He already had one foot in the hallway when he heard a soft sniffle. Sammy froze and clenched his jaw harder.
Don't do it, man. Just don't.
He did. He looked over his shoulder and saw Olivia had resumed mopping. She wasn't crying, but her eyes shone suspiciously bright. She really did look exhausted. Her movements were sluggish and her eyes drooped as she pushed the mop across the same spot for what must have been the dozenth time. It was close to midnight. Knowing her, she'd been up and going nonstop since 5 or 6 in the morning. Sammy also knew with dead certainty that Olivia would have never called him or anyone else if she didn't need help. She was the one people ran to when they had problems, not the other way around. It must have stung her pride that she'd had to reach out to someone else for support, and that her only option had been Sammy, hence why she'd pushed him away when he'd showed up. She didn't like appearing weak. Their relationship had died a long time ago, but he still knew her like the back of his hand.
God damn it.
His anger fizzled as fast as it came. Sammy exhaled a sharp breath and raked a hand through his hair, already hating himself for what he was about to do.
Leave it, he said roughly. The place is as dry as it's going to get, and there's not much else you can do till the morning.
It could use another go-over with the mop.
Olivia wiped her nose with the back of her hand.
Go, I got it.
Live, I swear to God.
Sammy flinched the instant the words left his mouth. He hadn't used her nickname in years, but it fell out as easily as if they were still together. It tasted bittersweet, like the memories of a bygone era. Olivia's shoulders visibly tensed as Sammy stomped through the apartment and wrested the mop from her hands.
I'll mop. You pack what you need for the night, he said, tone curt. If you keep going at this rate, you'll pass out on the floor and drown.
She rolled her eyes.
It was never that flooded.
He simply stared at her.
Fine, Sir Bossy McBoss Pants.
Olivia walked toward a pile of folded clothes on the coffee table.
I'll pack.
Half an hour later, Sammy had dried the floors as best he could, and Olivia had packed an overnight bag and changed into a t-shirt and leggings.
Let's go.
Sammy wiped his hands with a paper towel.
I'll drive.
But I haven't picked a hotel yet, she protested.
It's past midnight.
We don't have time to go through your spreadsheets and figure out which hotel has a Michelin-starred restaurant or offers designer amenities.
A Michelin-starred restaurant isn't a requirement, Olivia muttered.
She followed him into the hall, turning off the lights and locking the door behind her as she did so. It wasn't until they were ensconced in his car that she spoke again.
Where exactly are we going if not a hotel?
My house. Sammy would have smiled at the sputtering that filled the car if he weren't so damn annoyed and uneasy. He shouldn't be taking Olivia to his house. He shouldn't be taking her anywhere. Yet here he was, playing knight in not-so-shining armor to the woman who'd smashed his heart into smithereens a lifetime ago. Masochists had nothing on him.
We are not going to your house,
Olivia said after she got her indignant sputters under control. According to the driver, a.k.a. me, we are.
Why?
Because I'm tired. You're tired. And I don't want you murdered while searching for a shady hotel room in the middle of the night, Sammy growled. I don't have any Michelin stars or a spa, but I have a clean bed and a bathroom. You're using them. Tomorrow morning we'll figure out the mess with your apartment. And don't tell me you don't need help. You called me for a reason. So stop arguing, and let's have some peace, quiet, and rest for a few hours, okay? Olivia's jaw unhinged. She blinked slowly, her long dark lashes sweeping across her cheeks in a shocked flutter. Sammy turned the ignition and ignored the voice chanting in his head. Bad idea, bad idea, bad idea. The whole night had been plagued with bad ideas. What was one more?
Okay.
Olivia sounded subdued when she finally answered. They didn't speak again until they arrived at Sammy's house. The two-bedroom, one-bathroom abode wasn't fancy like Blake and Farrah's condo in New York or Chris and Nate's mansion in Beverly Hills, but it was home. Sammy had saved for years before he could afford the down payment, and it was finally all his. That made it the best damn place on the planet, in his opinion. This is your room. He flipped on the light in the guest room, revealing a full-sized bed with a royal blue comforter, a matching blue rug, and a sleek white desk and chair. He always had friends or family staying over when they were in town, so he kept the place well-maintained. My room's next door. Bathroom is across the hall. Guest towels are the green ones. If you need extra, they're in the closet next to the bathroom. Feel free to grab anything in the kitchen if you get hungry. And, I guess that's it. Sammy rubbed the back of his neck, aware of how absurd this whole situation was. He and Olivia hadn't spoken more than a dozen words to each other in 8 years, and now she was staying in his house, in the room next to his. It's only for the night, he assured himself. As much bad blood as there was between them, he couldn't bring himself to turn away from a, well, not friend exactly, but someone he knew who was in need. Sammy couldn't read her expression, but he thought he caught a glint of emotion in Olivia's eyes before she shifted her gaze and focused on the bookcase next to the desk. He'd stuffed it with books from high school and college that he never read anymore, but couldn't bear to throw out. The collection contained everything from classic fiction like The Great Gatsby to his favorite statistics textbook. Was it weird that he had a favorite textbook? Probably. But in a world where people hoarded strangers' toenails and plastered their houses with creepy dolls, it could be worse.
Thank you.
Olivia tightened her grip on the strap of her duffel bag.
I appreciate it. Really.
Sure, whatever, Sammy said, embarrassed. Good night.
Good night.
Spoiler, it wasn't a good night or morning. Because as Sammy lay in bed, unable to sleep after hours of tossing and turning, all he could think about was the woman in the room next door. Fuck.
Chapter 3. Olivia woke to the sound of her phone alarm blaring and the smell of eggs and bacon. Her stomach rumbled in anticipation, even as her eyes remained closed, desperate for a few extra minutes of shut-eye. She hadn't fallen asleep until 2 a.m, and she'd set her alarm for 7:30. Her landlord had said he'd come by her apartment at 9,
which meant she was way behind on her usual 8 hours of sleep.
You'll stay in bed for 5 more seconds. That's it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When she hit the mental count of 5, she threw off the covers, swung her legs over the side of the bed, and turned off her alarm before she could be lulled back into la-la land. Olivia had learned the mental count strategy from a podcast she'd listened to a few years ago, and had been using it since for things she didn't want to do. The trick was to set a defined period of time, that is, the count of 5, and take action the second you hit the last count, so your body didn't have time to protest. Olivia had done it so many times, she'd conditioned herself to react without thinking much about it. She blinked the sleep from her eyes and took in her surroundings. She'd been so tired she hadn't taken a good look at Sammy's guest room last night. But in the light of day, she could fully appreciate the soothing decor. The blues and whites were a balm to her soul, and everything was neat, but not too neat. Plus, the bed felt like a giant cloud. Or maybe that was her exhaustion talking. After Olivia freshened up in the bathroom and changed into street clothes, she padded into the gourmet kitchen. Other than the bedrooms and bathroom, Sammy's house was open plan, with nothing but a marble counter and 3 cushioned bar stools separating the kitchen from the dining nook and living room. Instead of the dark colors you typically found in a bachelor pad, Sammy's house boasted cheerful yellows, whites, and blues. Light streamed through the giant windows in the living room and bathed the furniture in sunshine, while framed prints of food puns decorated an entire wall of the kitchen. Olivia smirked when she spotted a picture of a smiling lemon and orange duo with the words, "Squeeze the day," printed beneath them. It was so corny and cute at the same time. The sizzle of oil in a pan drew her gaze away from a dancing radish that proclaimed, "You're radishing," and toward the man standing in front of the stove. Shirtless. Barefoot. Cooking. Her throat went bone dry. Hot damn. She hadn't seen Sammy Sands' shirt in a long time. And damn if he hadn't filled out since their college years. Not that his body had been anything to sneeze at back in the day, but once again for the people in the back, hot damn. Bronzed skin stretched over broad shoulders and a lean, muscular back that rippled with strength. His arms were corded with thick muscles that flexed every time he flipped a piece of bacon or reached across the counter. And his gray sweatpants hung low on his hips, revealing a sliver more skin than was decent. Olivia wheezed. Sammy glanced up, his handsome face calm and unreadable, his hair tousled from sleep. "Good morning." "Morning." She slid onto one of the counter stools and tried to keep her eyes above his neck. The last thing she needed was to get caught ogling her ex-boyfriend. She was embarrassed enough, calling him for help yesterday. "How did you sleep?"
"Pretty good." An awkward silence filled the air, punctuated by the continued sizzle in the pan until Sammy shut off the stove. Olivia remembered the days when they couldn't stop talking to each other, about their hopes and dreams, and funny YouTube videos and articles they'd read online, and the merits of pie versus cake, anything and everything they could think of. She also remembered the days when they didn't speak at all, endless hours of silence laden with unspoken accusations and broken promises, until those, too, exploded in anger. Then there were the years when they'd been as far apart physically as they were emotionally, separated by time and distance and heartbreak. Now, here they were, 8 years later. So different from who they used to be, and yet still the same. A little older, hopefully a little wiser, but still holding on to regrets from the past.
"You want breakfast? I made enough for two."
Sammy slid a plate heaped with scrambled eggs,
bacon and toast across the counter before Olivia could answer. Her mouth watered at the sight and smell. He'd made the bacon chewy and tender, the way she liked it. A lot of people preferred it crispy, but she thought crispy bacon tasted like charred smoke. I'm always down for eggs, Olivia corrected herself, her cheeks flaming as she forced herself not to stare at the chiseled six-pack in front of her. I'm always down for eggs. A tiny smile with a hint of smugness hovered on the corners of Sammy's lips. Like he was well aware of her slip-up, but was too much of a gentleman to call her out on it. Which he was. Damn him. Olivia spooned some eggs into her mouth and evaded Sammy's gaze by examining the kitchen. Sammy was a baker by trade, but he loved cooking as much as baking. And he'd clearly spared no expense in outfitting his favorite room of the house. Sleek, pale wood cabinets lined the walls, above gleaming counters that boasted glass containers of flour and sugar. A stand mixer, a state-of-the-art espresso machine, and a three-tier ceramic cake stand. An eight-burner stove and sub-zero fridge stood sentry to the right of the sink. A glass-fronted cabinet filled with plates and glasses shone on the left. Copper pots and pans hung from hooks on the ceiling, above the wood-topped center island, and a vase of beautiful sunflowers added a touch of homey cheer to what would have otherwise been a too-magazine-perfect scene.
Farrah helped design it,
Sammy said when he noticed her scrutiny. He leaned against the counter and sipped his coffee. Somehow, the simple action made him look even hotter.
Virtual consultations.
Right. Olivia remembered Farrah mentioning it to her a while back, but she'd been so busy with business school she'd glossed over the information. It looks great. She swallowed another mouthful of eggs. The food is great, too. She felt the need to compliment him because there were only so many times a girl could say thank you before it got annoying. She wasn't lying, either. Breakfast was good. Sammy could turn the most mundane dishes into a gourmet meal.
Thanks, he finished his coffee.
And she snuck a peek at the way his throat flexed when he swallowed, before averting her gaze. What was wrong with her? This was Sammy, her ex-boyfriend, her first love, the only man who'd ever made her cry, and the one who walked away when he'd promised her forever. Yet he was the one she'd called when she'd needed help, and he'd showed up. He hadn't needed to, and she hadn't expected him to, but he'd showed up. Not only that, but he went above and beyond by opening his house to her for the night. And now she was so fucking confused. Were they friends or not? Did she like him or not? She was attracted to him, but she couldn't control her hormones, and they had nothing to do with her feelings. Olivia wished she were back in her mess of an apartment. Nothing cleared her thoughts like a good deep cleaning session. Like she always said, clean house, clean mind.
When are you supposed to meet your landlord?
Sammy asked. 9. I should head over soon if I want to make it on time. Olivia finished the last piece of bacon and stood.
Okay, give me 5 minutes.
Excuse me?
I need to change, then I'll take you to your apartment.
But, she floundered, searching for an excuse. Spending more one-on-one time with Sammy was a bad idea on so many levels. It's Saturday. Don't you have stuff to do? Won't Jessica be mad you're spending the morning with your ex? And that you let me stay the night? Olivia kept that question to herself. Judging by Jessica's enthusiastic reception last night, the answer was probably no.
And she had no desire to discuss the blonde with Sammy. Not until later in the day,
Sammy shrugged.
5 minutes, be right back.
He disappeared down the hall, leaving a flummoxed Olivia in the kitchen. Don't read too much into it. Sammy wasn't being nice because he still carried a torch for her. Not that Olivia wanted him to carry a torch for her. He was nice to everyone. He couldn't help himself. It was in his DNA.
except, of course, for the day they broke up. But that was neither here nor there.
That was a long time ago, she muttered. Stop thinking about it.
Olivia glared at herself in the microwave door. Her midnight dark hair hung sleek and straight past her shoulders. And thanks to the magic of concealer and mascara, she looked bright-eyed and alert despite her restless night of sleep. Her shirt was crisp, her pants fitted but comfortable. She was a mess inside, but at least she looked perfect on the outside. She tore her gaze away from her reflection and bounced her eyes around the room, strangely on edge. In the cold, harsh light of day, she couldn't believe she'd broken down like that last night. She'd called Sammy. She'd nearly cried. Thank God she hadn't, but the impulse had been there. Over what? A little flood? Yeah, a lot of her belongings were trashed, but they could be replaced, and she was alive and unharmed. Why had she freaked out? Olivia was the one who always stayed calm during emergencies. Like when she and her friends almost burned down their hotel villa during Chris's bachelorette weekend. Don't ask. She'd never met a crisis she couldn't handle on her own. You got this, she said. You'll go to your apartment, sort out this mess with the landlord, and book an Airbnb or hotel room until you can move back in. She loved writing her to-do lists, but saying them out loud helped too. It was her version of positive affirmations.
That's going to be expensive.
Olivia jerked her head toward the hall, a wisp of disappointment curling through her when she saw Sammy had put a shirt on.
Duh, he can't run around San Francisco shirtless.
The black t-shirt and jeans he donned did incredible things for his tall, muscled frame, though, so it wasn't a total loss.
What?
Based on what I saw yesterday, it'll take weeks before your apartment is habitable again.
Sammy slid his wallet into his back pocket.
It's going to be expensive as hell to rent an Airbnb or hotel room for that long, especially during peak tourist season.
Her brows knit into a frown. I doubt it'll take weeks. His knowing smirk made her want to punch him in the face. Last night's hospitality and excellent abs, eggs. Excellent eggs, notwithstanding.
Maybe it won't.
Sammy agreed, but the smirk remained. Olivia's frown deepened. Her studio had a little water damage. How long could repairs possibly take?
7 weeks? It's going to take 7 weeks before I can move back into my apartment?
Olivia sputtered, disbelief and anger swirling in her veins as she pictured her landlord's apathetic expression when he broke the bad news.
That's half my summer.
That's unfortunate.
Sammy didn't say it, but she heard faint echoes of "I told you so" beneath his words. She pressed two fingers to her temple and tried to calm her nerves. She was this close to regurgitating her breakfast. Olivia had a plan for the summer, as she did for all areas of her life. Kick ass at her job, eat her way through the city's best restaurants, date around for a bit before meeting her future husband. She'd had high hopes for love in business school, but after a year in Stanford,